Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Today is July 18th, 2019. And our scripture reading for this week is found in Numbers chapter 25, starting at verse 10 through chapter 29, verse 40, and then also chapter 30, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 46 through chapter 19, verse 21. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 23. Verses 1 through 24, Luke 23, verses 1 through chapter 24, verse 53. And also John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast features an in-depth Bible study each week. This show is not a call-in show, and we do not accept calls. We also do not correspond through social media. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on www.warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to the shows on Blog Talk and Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, and many others. To listen to all our shows and read the articles by The Watchman, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And this week, the articles featured by The Watchman are Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. Visions of Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. Yes, everyone has visions, the prophet, the priest, the king, and many of today's purveyors of change. There is no doubt some visions of change, like the Wright brothers and their airplanes, changed the world. We have had many such people who, through their visions and strength, continue to mark the history of mankind with great inventions. America's Truth, of Men, Donkeys, and Elephants. America's truth today is pervasive. Where do we find it? Never in the news. The hateful, spiteful, and divisive news is boring today. The same things for months now are being socialized through Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, just to name a few. Breitbart, Fox, and other so-called conservative sites seem to put up the news some of the left is headlining. It is like repeating a no-no word your mom warned you about. So be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman and pass them along to your friends and relatives. Tonight on our show, A Great Light, Miss Darkness, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 10, on Battle Lines. A Great Light, Miss Darkness. We find the prophet Isaiah giving the warning to Judah here. In the midst of this prophecy of coming judgment, we find mercy and redemption. And now I welcome in The Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Do we have a word?
We do have a word. Hang on.
Okay.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
B That was your word.
Thank you. That was a good word.
With another word coming.
Okay.
You know what I seen today? I seen some interesting news. Pompano and Pence were talking about it. And they're looking
really?
At forming. I think they already formed it. And they're putting together a coalition to watch persecuted Christians around the world and to set up a prosecution
really?
Agency and law. Yeah. And
that's great.
I haven't seen, you know, anything in depth about it. I just happened to see something on our Instagram account about it. So, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, where we're at on it. But, hey, I'm all for that.
You betcha. We need
I don't
that.
Know. I don't know how effective that's going to be, given the nature of those who persecute Christians. They could care less what America thinks.
Like China and North Korea.
China, North Korea, Iran, of course.
Pakistan, yeah.
Yeah, Pakistan is trying, I think. They're still putting people up on blasphemy charges. So at any rate, our advocacy program for the persecuted church is on our websites now. It goes on once a week, and our scheduled time is on a Wednesday, but we have the power to change that. But we normally do it in the beginning, the first show of the week. It covers the persecuted Christians around the world. A lot of interesting stories, huh, Tower?
Yes, it is interesting. And we always get good news out of it, too. There's usually, not always, there's usually some good news. We see God moving in lives.
And miracles and signs.
Well, yes.
So at any rate, you know, I guess America is going down the road, you know, toward the election. And I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. I don't know how many Democrats they got running now, but dear God in heaven, there's a pile of them. And some
they
of them are.
They can do a better job than Trump.
Yeah, some of them are scarier than the devil himself, I'll tell you.
No, you better believe that.
And so, man, who knows? I personally think that if Trump don't screw it up and everything. I really don't get into that a lot, though. I really believe God is in charge of events. I believe these are the end of days, and I believe things are lined up. And if somebody's the president, God put him in there for a reason. I believe that.
That's right.
And,
I do, too.
We may not always understand it, but all the persecution around the world is mentioned in Scripture. We've talked about it. That's the way it is in the end of days. It's going to be tough. Paul himself said, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. So, are you swatting flies back there?
Hang on a minute.
I can hear that. I don't know if they're hearing it.
Okay, got the issue taken care of.
I heard that. Every bit of that. It sounded like you were, you know, we ought to have a contest if they could hear it to figure out what you were doing back there, because I can't see. You know, as being the producer of this show, you ought to be a little more careful.
No, it's funny. Okay.
And then she
back to the show.
She's got the dog back there too. So, well, at any rate, tonight we're going to be in Isaiah. This is a great study. But you know, you've got to like the Word of God.
That's right.
And I noticed recently we've been having people that are following us on Twitter that are retweeting our shows and stuff in foreign languages.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. I found out this one, and so I went to it to find out what they were retweeting about it, and it was our tweet about some of our shows, and it was in German, and it translated it. Then there was another one.
Cool.
I don't know what language or what they were doing with that one, but you know, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, all these foreign languages and their chicken scratching. Just you know, I think when I look at English, that it looks normal. Of course, I'm an American. But I can't imagine what people that don't know English, when they look at our writing, what they think of it, because to me it looks normal. But when I look at some of this other stuff, now Chinese looks normal. I can't read it, but, well, that's Chinese. But some of them are really, really different. And if you get back into ancient writings, they are really, really, I mean, you know, even past, you know, beyond the hieroglyphics. And some people have even equated those with aliens and what they would write or see on spaceship, of which some people have even testified to. So at any rate, let's see, what else is going on in the news? Oh, I noticed that Trump, you know, this guy, there's things that I really like about him. He welcomes a lot of people into today's Special Olympics. They had a photo op with him at the Oval Office with the First Lady and everything. And those kids,
well, that's
you know,
cool.
they took photographs of the kids with him. And, you know, when he gave a speech not too long ago, I forgot where it was. I think it was at one of the academies of the servicemen graduating. Somebody was graduating. And he shook hands with everyone there. Every one of them he shook hands with.
That's right.
The president.
1,000 of them.
Yeah, normally nobody does that. Nobody does that, but he did. And with these kids, you could see the look on their faces. It was priceless, you know. So I was glad, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and I think that, you know, I've read the testimonies of women who were talking about Trump, who met him when they lost their son in combat or something happened. And they really, really appreciated him and what he said. You know, I mean, I think he's heartfelt in a lot of that. You know, the liberal media, you know, is just so hateful. It's just abnormal.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
you're right,
it is.
It is.
And, you know, some of these people, you know, it's just unconscionable. And it's the way they are, you know. And so, you know, I don't really know, but I can tell you this election cycle, don't pay attention to the polls. Because you can't trust any of the polls that the liberals, CNN and NBC and these others put out. Now, I did read an article on CBS, and they had put in a new nighttime gal that does the news and said that she was dedicated to fair news all the way across the board. And no more of this partisanship and the people giving their own viewpoints.
That's good.
Yeah, it's yet to be seen, but that's a good start.
It is a great start.
I spent a lot of years listening to Peter Jennings, and he's a Canadian, He's dead now, but this is a guy that you would listen to. And, you know, Walter Cronkite. And you never knew that Walter Cronkite, for instance, was a liberal or anything else.
Yeah, they'd never give their own opinion. I don't recall him doing that anyway.
No, I don't either. And I don't know why we are in the thing today that everybody thinks that they can give their opinion instead of just give the news.
Because they're so full of pride, apparently. They're full of themselves. I don't know, but I think it's wrong.
Well, they all got producers and writers. They don't write their own stuff. They're not supposed to. Some of the main ones that have their own show would write it, but they're still supposed to give a balanced thing. I mean, there is a producer there. There's a director there. They have to answer to the, you know, station manager, the one in charge. So,
yeah.
You know, it's weird that we got into this because
it is. It's horrible.
Now, we stopped doing the news a lot of years ago, and we don't do
What's
news
that?
Shows. I said we stopped doing shows, news a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, at any rate, we got another night going. And I think I'll go ahead and get started in this.
Excuse me. Okay, I will see you on the other side.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, we're in Isaiah, and a great light amidst the darkness. You know, it's interesting how this is all coming about with Israel. We left off in Isaiah chapter 8. And to talk a little bit about where we've been, where we were in a section, Isaiah 8:11, and he said, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand," that is, the power of God was upon the prophet, "with force," and you can tell an anointed man of God. I mean, true anointed. And not just in his presence, but when he's gone. It's kind of hard for me to explain that force, but there is a force there. There is a power. There's an authority that resides long after you stop talking with him and you're no longer in his presence. That anointing can even get to the point that you almost can, you know, sense an angel standing right by you or the Lord himself, you know, because there's such a power there. And this strong hand of the Lord speaking to him instructed me, he says, that I should not walk in the way of this people. And you know, the issue with Israel falling away, and we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about this as we move forward, but I'm just trying to remind you where we were. Then in verse 12 of chapter 8, "Say not a confederacy or conspiracy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy or a conspiracy." That's what that word means. "Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid." And see, this is what, when judgment comes, and I guarantee you it's coming, or when you're facing really dire circumstances like many of the Christians around the world are facing, You don't get into walking in the way of the people that are around you. You fear God and you walk in his ways. And you don't give way to conspiracies. And that's what that word confederacy means. Now, in America, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. And you want to not, and it doesn't mean that the conspiracies or the conspiracy theories or this confederacy, which is conspiracy, like, for instance, if we say about a conspiracy theory in America, that it's totally wrong. It's just we don't go there. Why? Because we are trusting in the true and the living God and in his word. The news says one thing, or doctors will say one thing, or doctors will tell you it's hopeless, or whatever the case may be. We don't follow that line. We seek the Lord as the bottom line. He is our health. He is our life. And in verse 18, now see, all this has to do with judgment, though. And see, that's the issue here is sanctify. In verse 8:13, it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts. And when we say the Lord of hosts, we're seeing the Lord. This word is Jehovah. He is the covenant maker. He is the judge. He is the blesser. He is the healer. He is all things. He's the Lord of hosts. He has a mighty heavenly army. He has angels. He has powers and principalities. Everything is in his hand. He's the Lord of hosts. He's over all agencies. Everything there is, every power, everything, he's in charge. And so it says, sanctify him, set aside, seek him. And it says, let him be your fear. And let him be your dread. Why would you do that? Because you're in the midst of judgment or something is coming that is fearful to many people. Don't allow fear to take hold of you, but instead let the Lord be your fear. You fear him. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. And you have a healthy fear of him. That's what keeps you from sinning. You want to please him. You seek his face. You look to his mercy. And it's him that your enemies are going to have to face. It's him that the devil's going to have to face. And he shall be for a sanctuary. That's the next verse. If you do that, he becomes a sanctuary. When you sanctify him, you set him aside. You morally revere him. You seek him. That's when we're talking about let him be your fear. He is the one that we follow. And so we left off with that, those ideas in the midst of judgment. It's coming, and the judgment has been given. Isaiah has been telling them. And now in verse 16 of Isaiah 8, it says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. I find this really interesting because there's a finality in this. You see, there's a big issue today with the Word of God. And there's lots of words of God out there. And every tribe on earth has their holy book. Ours is different because we serve the true and the living God. Now, see, the world don't like that because they don't like anybody claiming the top spot in the rung of gods. Well, ours is the true and living God. And when he gave us the word, that is what it is. When he gave the prophecy of Revelation, that's it. When he spoke to Daniel, and in the last part of the book, he tells him to seal the book up, for the time is yet to come. You bind it up, you seal it, the prophecy's been given, that's it, there's no more to do, it will come to pass. And when you're dealing in judgment, now see, God has given Isaiah this, and Isaiah spoke it, but this is the word of God. And when it goes forth out of Isaiah's lips, anointed, it is the sword of the Lord. And you're either on the good side of that sword or you're on the bad side. And of course, the scroll, and I think of a hide, you know, or a parchment here. And they have writing on it. And this is what Isaiah has been doing, writing on this. And so you bind it up, you close it up so nobody can disturb the message. And he delivers the message. And he would hand this message over to those who are in authority. And the nation had rejected. And so this one here, you bind up that testimony, you seal the law among my disciples. In Isaiah 1, and this is the beginning of this chapter, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz. And that is his son. And so he writes with a pen. Now, the books were rolls and sealed when completed. They would put wax on it combined with any adhesive or paste or glue that they had. And but here, when they say seal it up, it means to make it secure. Tying a cord around it or a string, making sure nobody can get into it, because the prophecy's been given. And when it's been given, you don't seal it up until it's been given. And then you let people, know, and, it's up to them. Are they going to receive it or not? Because it's going to come to pass. That's the issue here. God is warning them through Isaiah. They have time to repent here. They've got time to say, okay, we're going to turn. We're going to stop doing what we're doing. But will they do it? No. Isaiah gives us. They didn't do it during Jeremiah's time. None of the prophets Israel really paid any attention to, because they had the high priests and the prophets and, everything going, and they were part of the problem as well as the leaders, the political leaders. They were part of the problem. And so if you had a political leader in Israel that actually served the Lord, then the people would follow him. But if they had somebody like Ahaz and Jezebel, the people followed them. Not all of them, of course, because you still had some that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, Elijah dealt with both of those two. And he gave the judgment against them, tell them that they would die when they had plotted to get that vineyard. So in verse 8:17, it says, and I'll wait upon the Lord that hides his face. This is judgment from the house of Jacob. Now, this is a biblical term, hiding the face, just like extending the hand. And we've got more of that. And these are human terms, hiding his face. Well, God is a spirit, and extending his hand. Whenever you talk about an extending the hand, there's something that he's going to do. And it's associated in this chapter with judgment. But see, whenever you have judgment, there is an opportunity there that God gives you the judgment. Now, see, by the time Isaiah gives this, the people can turn around. But is it time enough to stop the judgment? Well, see, they never turned around enough to find out. But see, God told him in the beginning of this whole thing that tell the righteous it shall be well with him, and the wicked it shall be ill with him. It's about righteousness and wickedness. But somehow in these end of days and in this New Testament church, we don't believe that anymore. And more and more, we have, you know, such a purveyor of filth in this country that is going on, and the churches say nothing, that it's a wonder that God has not destroyed this nation all the way. But it says, "And I will wait on the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." Now, I like this in the fact that it reminds me of Moses, who wanted to see the glory of the Lord. And of course, he couldn't see the glory. He couldn't see the Lord's face. But the Lord said, "I'll hide you with my hand and I'll pass by." And so this gives you the impression, how big is the Lord? And because if he was just like human size, his hand could never shield Moses. But you talk about the fact that he rides on the winds and the mountains melt before him. He's created everything. He sits on his throne. He's all present, all knowledgeable, you know, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. It gives you an idea of an absolutely massive God, but he's a God who can come, who can send his son in human form that will look just like us. But in the meeting with Moses, he was big enough to cover him with his hand. Now, we can take that literal. It would have to be a big hand. But he was able to cover him because he's God, just by extending his hand, and he would have been covered because of the power of God in this respect. But at any rate, Moses waited for him. Moses wanted to see him. Now, see here in this, there's an anticipation here. Judgment is coming on the house of Jacob, and he's going to hide his face for a moment. And, of course, this is thoroughly in Scripture. We have this a lot, just like Christ on the cross himself. And when he was on the cross, he became sin for us. And at that time, God turned his face away from the Lord. And the Lord said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the reason at that moment was because Christ had just become sin for us at that moment in Calvary. Of course, later on, he was resurrected from the dead because he did die and shed his blood for the redemption of all mankind. And so, you know, it is so amazing how all of this works, that God is trying to bring Jacob to himself. And Jacob is looking, you know, I mean, let's face it, they're not going to be looking for him until they see trouble. But in the case of Judah and even the northern tribes, they went and found arms of the flesh, other nations to lean upon instead of the Lord God. And this is, and we talked about this the last time. So you can't lean on the arm of the flesh. Now, see, Habakkuk, when he was talking about a vision, you know, and we've done the study of Habakkuk, and I love Habakkuk too, because Habakkuk was surrounded by all this wickedness and everything, and he asked the Lord, you know, "How long are you going to allow me to see this?" And he was talking to the Lord, you know, "I'm tired of all this sin and this iniquity. I'm tired of the lawlessness. When are you going to do something about them?" And the Lord said, "Okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to send a mean and nasty nation that's just going to overrun your country, and it's going to kill, rape, and pillage." Which is not what Habakkuk expected, but he said, "Well, I will wait on my watch and see what the Lord will say to me when I am reproved." He expected to be reproved, but the Lord didn't reprove him. So, you know, we're talking judgment here. And many times, including Israel, and even in Christians' lives, things, you know, you get tied up in society, you fall away, and the Lord sends something to wake you up. And that's persecution, that's trouble or whatever. And I will wait on the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Well, see, the Lord already said, tell the righteous it'll be well with them, and the wicked shall be ill. So that gives you a choice. What do you want to be? Well, then you need to be righteous and you need to repent. But unfortunately for Israel, they always had to go through the judgment. That's why the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I don't know why we got to be that way, and I include myself. You know, I've argued with the Lord for years, many, 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 many years ago. I mean, I still believed in him, but eventually he had a way to reveal to me the correct side of that to be on. Thank God I listened. I mean, it's funny. I can laugh about it now, but believe me, it was not a laughing matter back then. And I'm telling you, look at your family today. You look at your kids when they grow up. And if you're saved and a believer, you know, God is going to deal with them. And as a parent, you're going to watch and see how he deals with them. And you can't stop it. You can pray for them and you can help them along the way, but you cannot do it for them. And Isaiah says after that, he's speaking to the children of Israel, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, the last one that he gave, Maher Shalah Hashbaz, Maher means hasten, Shalal means spoil or prey, Hash means hasten or make speed, and Baz means spoil or prey, hasten to the prey. And the prey, of course, is Judah. And he's calling a faraway country. And so the Assyrians come and they're going to plunder and they're going to come after him. Now, this is a long way from being over, because this thing is just unbelievable how the justice works here. In 8:19, and you know, we find some of the same language in the prophecies to Babylon. And so we can take it. If you look at any number of nations today, Gentile nations, you're going to find that they have a lot of ways to try to find spiritual truths out. That doesn't mean that they're saved. That doesn't mean they even know the true and living God. There's a lot of familiar spirits on the other side, a lot of deceiving spirits. And these things just wait for some human to come contact them. And verse 19 of chapter 8, it says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. That's a necromancer. Those attended, or those people attended by an invisible spirit subject to their call. Now, there's been a number of people, I can't think of his name now, but he had an ability quite like that, recalling things and doing things nobody else could do. But they get so good at this, the human is so wrapped up in this familiar spirit, they are comfortable with it. And so these familiar spirits can actually be connected to these people for all of their lives and even into their kids' lives. That's the way these things can occur. And seek unto them, when they say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards. Well, why would they say that? So you can find out the truth, you know. And instead of going to the prophet and questioning the prophet and saying, are you sure this is true? Well, yeah, God said it. This is absolutely the truth. I've written it down and sealed the testimony. And then they'll say, okay, then what do we have to do? But see, they didn't work like that. See, so the tendency, even in Israel, was to seek familiar spirits and wizards, soothsayers, you know, magician. You can have a spirit of divination who can do spirits, who can do different kinds of miracles. You know, and one popular one that most people in America see, and that is the fact of Chris Angel, for instance. I don't know if he still does it. He's not the only one I've seen do this. You can actually stand up off the floor. You know, you can just rise and be lifted up. And those also are demons. And they're this spirit of darkness and deception that provides this miracle. That peep, this is like... whispering that ancients subscribe to departed spirits, you know, something, you know, you're sitting there and you can hear something, you know, and so it's a departed spirit trying to tell you something, that mutter. See, there's all kinds of way this is comes into like a meditation. Some of them even feign to speak with, pretend to speak with the spirits and make people believe they had supernatural powers. So these are all ways for humans to pretend like they are a prophet. In the time of Isaiah, Isaiah could have weeded all these out. Elijah could have called fire down on them. I mean, you know, it really could. Now, see, if these people don't repent, the wicked are going to die in this judgment. Make no mistake about it. This is not a judgment for the fun of it. This is a judgment to redeem Israel. This is a judgment to cleanse the filth out of the midst of Israel. Now, Paul himself warned, as well as the other apostles, that within the church, we need to be careful. You know, judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then if we barely survive, where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? You know, the end is coming, but first there's going to be that judgment on God. There's going to be a fire. And you could really consider right now part of that fire is the persecution going on. And, you know, the fire gets pretty bad when you talk about it. And so there is a real fire that's going to occur in the end of days through the churches. And the American churches, watch out. All your comfortable things that you are so used to, all of that stuff that you call important in the Christian realm is going to be burned off. And it'll be just like the Laodiceans. And it says in 8:20, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, the revealed will of God was already given to the prophet, and that was sealed in the testimony. So, and within that, of course, is the law of God. He set it down, and the prophet is the one who sets it down. He is the lawgiver at that moment. He becomes the Moses to the children of Israel. And he stands up and he says, thus saith the Lord, this is it. And, you know, the thing of it is, if they don't speak according to what God has given, it's because there's no light in them. And that even accounts today. We have got the gospel given to us by Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. In the Greek, it's Jesus. He gave that to the apostles who gave it to the early church. Now, today, there are so many denominations, you can't do anything about it. Now, see, there's nothing you can do about it. You may not like it, but that's not your job to worry about. That's the Lord's church. And this fire is going to burn through the middle of it. And for those that are so upset they can't contain themselves, you got to get over it. And you got to just repent of it and understand that within those churches, even though there's so many of them, could be a few that really do know the Lord. And so what are you going to do? Go in and kill them all because you don't like them? No, you don't. The Lord will take care of them. We let the tares and the wheat grow together till harvest. The Lord will take care of them. It's His church. And all of this He's in charge of. But for you and me, to the law and the testimony, today the law was fulfilled by Christ Jesus. And the testimony of Christ, we can find that in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him being the devil, the beast, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love our lives not unto death. Now, see, we have a word of testimony, but there's also a testimony that follows you into heaven. And how you, and even Christ said this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me, I will deny you. See, this is, and so when we're talking about the Old Testament, you know, God testified through that prophet what was coming. He gave them time to repent, and of course they didn't do it. But that testimony through that prophet is the light and the revelation given to the people. And when another prophet comes along and says, no, that's not the case, and this really happened in the time of Jeremiah when he was telling the children of Israel they'd go into bondage, he was wearing a yoke, you know, like an ox would wear. And he did that to show them that they would be in bondage to Babylon because of their sins. And another so-called prophet came in and knocked it off his shoulders and told them that he was lying. And so Jeremiah left, and God told him on the way back, you go back and you meet that guy again. You tell him that this day he's going to die. And later on in the word, it shows that there was a lion who was laying right by the body of that prophet who had indeed been killed. And the lion did not eat him, meaning that the lion didn't kill him for food. He killed him because he was directed to kill him. And so, you know, you do have these people who will stand up there and just know that isn't the truth. And God help you if you can't discern the difference between those who are telling the truth and those who don't, because you're going to wind up getting yourself killed. Well, this don't happen. It will. It sure will. And it'll happen, especially when the two witnesses are going to show up. They're going to be there during the almost all the full time of the beast going to be there for 3.5 years thereabouts. But make no mistake about it, to the law and the testimony. And we take that today. If you have people come along and they say that something about Jesus and it's opposite of the word of God, get away from them. And believe you me, I've debated with pastors. I've talked with them. And getting nowhere. Now, see, it's a different kind of a debate. When I was in Bible school, as Bible school students, we were always debating the Word of God. We'd talking about it, and we'd talk about the original Greek and all this and what it means and where we're going, and that's what we did. But, you know, we loved one another. You know, we'd have koinonia groups, and we went to chapel, and we were always around each other. And so, you know, we would do that. But today it's different. We don't have that camaraderie with people. And even churches can have a camaraderie within them, but not with others very well. And then you also have others who have a gathering of churches where they all get together. And they have different faiths involved in it, you know. The bottom line of it is there is a place we can't go. And that's when you defile the Bema seat, defile the Word of God, and you a give blessing to someone. And as Scripture says, that if there comes someone to you that brings not this gospel, do not receive him into your house. For he that receives him into your house is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's how important it was in the times of the apostles to make sure you made a difference between what was true and what wasn't true. So in Isaiah, make no mistake, this is about truth. And in the church today, it's about truth. Now, you can get away with a lot of garbage today, but I'm telling you, the Lord of this church is coming. The Lord of this church is, and before he ever steps foot on this earth again, before he steps off, you know, he gets off that white horse that you want to ride back, symbolizing purity, power, righteousness, and authority. That everything is wrapped up in that. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be a fire. And in 8:21, and of course, when you go through judgment, you're meeting that fire head on. And here, you know, this is hardly going to be the end of it. But what is so interesting about the prophecies is that we can go through this and we can think about and talk about the prophecies as he gives them. But all of this, we can compare it, almost all of it, to today and to our Christian walk. And it's an amazing thing how intertwined it is. You know, we are talking about our roots here. Now, many of the Jews don't want to confess that or believe that. But we have been adopted into this. We are, by faith, we have been united to Abraham, for he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So we are connected to the promises given to Abraham. And we've been grafted in, as Paul says in Romans 11. You can't deny our right by the grace of God. And 8:21, and they shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass when they be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. You know, these are very prophetic for me. And I can see the time in Revelation when the heavy part of the wrath of God is here and the people have received their mark. And the one whom they followed can do nothing. There's no food. The waters have turned to blood. People are dying. There's curse on the earth. So what do you do? They will curse the Antichrist, the beast rather, and their God. For he will set himself up as God in the temple of God and look up, and they will curse the God of heaven as well. We know in 2 Thessalonians 2 that people will do just that. That this one who will set himself up, the son of perdition, will make himself to be God, and he will curse that God. And there's a lot of things here that we could get into, but this is the same thing in the time of Israel. If you are seeking after familiar spirits, if you're looking after all these things and not the Lord, they are not going to deliver you out of the hand of the Lord. Islam is not going to deliver you out of the hand of the Lord. Neither is Hinduism or any other faith. Christ alone is the one who will deliver you. Now, you can shout, scream, and holler, and pontificate, and everything else. But in the end, when this thing comes, and you've made the wrong choice, you're going to be like these two verses. You're going to be walking through the land, the earth, full of tribulation and turmoil, and nothing to eat, and darkness, and people be filled with all kinds of sores and sicknesses and plagues. People be laying in the water, and the water will have turned to blood. But they've been so thirsty, they drank that and they died. Because that blood is judgment on the blood guilt that is in mankind's heart. And so when you have voted, New York, to kill babies out of the womb, you are committing blood guilt. And you are an offender. Now, that can be forgiven. But if you continue to do it over and over and over again with no remorse and no repentance officially and turn from your wicked ways, you will find a detrimental judgment. And there's other ways of killing innocent, you know, having innocent blood on your hands. And so they will be hungry. You're going to fret. You're going to be angry. You're going to curse anybody around, especially those in authority. Then you're going to finally look, after you've cursed everything around you and everything on the earth, you're going to look up to heaven and you're going to shake your fist and curse God. And when they're looking around in the earth, verse 8:22 of Isaiah, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. You'll be driven further into darkness, especially during the tribulation and wrath of God, because by then you have taken the mark and it's too late for you. And you're going to be driven further into darkness, further into madness, further into hard-heartedness, and there will be no escape for you. And even after you die a physical death, you will face an eternity of hell in turmoil and torment, where the fire never dies down, where your body in the spirit, worms will crawl in and out of your spirit. They will never die. They can make it through the fire. You'll have eternal torment of worms, where their worm dieth not. And the fire is never quenched. Now that's a fate nobody should have to go through. Because Christ, you know, delivered us from that. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You see, the offer's there. But mankind puts it off. Isaiah's the same way. He's given them the message in Israel. Well, let's go over here to this soothsayer and see what he says. Maybe he'll tell us they're not going to come, so then we can forget what this prophet said. Well, the problem of it is they had prophets in their temple. You know, they had other prophets hanging around. And they were the kind that were filthy, dirty prophets, false prophets. Isaiah wasn't one of them. Neither was Jeremiah, neither was Elijah. That's why the old saying, fear God and the prophets. You don't mess with a true prophet. I think when I look at Israel, a lot of people, you know, bring up Israel and, you know, Israel's gotten a lot of guff over all these years. Israel is still hated. I mean, that's the biggest fuss we've had in a long time with the squad. That's those four junior House of Representative electees, all women, and women of color, by the way. You've read about them. And decidedly anti-American and anti-Jewish. But then so is Europe. So is the UK. We reported on a Jewish author that in the UK that got his book removed because he was a Jew. They refused to print it. We see this anti-Semitism all over the world. And it's hard to believe. You know, Israel, God chose them. They've been blessed, but they have spent centuries under this cloud of judgment. And it's just, you know, if anybody deserves to catch a break, it's Israel. But even Israel today still hasn't learned. If you go into their state and you look at the things they do, they are a microcosm of America and other Gentile nations. They do exactly what we do. So when we talk about the greater Israel, we're talking about Israel where it is male, female, Jew, Gentile, all one in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul says not all of Israel is Israel. There's the physical Israel, then there's the spiritual Israel. But make no mistake, God is still going to deal with the physical Israel. And they are still looked upon by the Father for Abraham's sake. And he will finish it in his own way, but they still have to come to Yahshua. And so when we look at Isaiah, we see a people, and you can put America in there, you can put any nation you want in there. And this people should have known better. For God's sake, America should know better. But from looking at what we're doing and teaching our children and what's happening in this country, you would think that we never knew what righteousness was. We have fallen away. Yes, God has people in this country, just like he had in Israel. But if you think God is not going to judge America, You will find out. I've been talking about this for over 21 years. Tower and I both have long before that 21. The 21 years is just in the latter part, our ministry in these last days. We first talking about this back in the 70s. That's how long we've talked about this. And we've told people. And so Isaiah is that book that is very, very prophetic, but it has a massive amount of stuff in it. And that's why I think that, you know, I see within, when we look at these scriptures, an amazing similarity, even though we live so far apart. Now, we're in Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. I think this is amazing because we're talking about Emmanuel here. Now, it also, you know, when we do talk about this, And remember Israel. At the time that Isaiah wrote this, there was vexation of spirit there. There was trouble in the land. And the land all about them was afflicted because of judgment and the sins. The people were walking in darkness. The Lord warned them not to do the things that the nations did before you. Now, Matthew 1:21-23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now we've covered that word in Isaiah already. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. See, within judgment, and we talked about this Emmanuel, we talked about this But there is no doubt that when we look at this, the prophet and the apostle just like look at Daniel, him being a prophet there was given dreams and interpretations, and even he was disturbed for days afterwards and didn't fully understand what he had been shown. Even the end of the book, when men will run to and fro on the earth and knowledge shall be increased, the angel just said, shut the book, seal the book, for it's for a time. In Isaiah 9:1, it says, Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation. That's what we just read, but the whole concept of what we're talking about goes through seven verses here in Isaiah 9:1-7. And it talks about of the increase of his government. For unto us his child is born, a son is given. Some of these are some of the greatest verses that we Gentiles look at concerning the birth of Christ. These right here. And they are found in Isaiah, a book on judgment, a book on mercy, a book on hope, a book on redemption. It's a righteous book. It's a book of life, of people, and what happens with the people and what's coming upon a world. That's why it's such a big book. You say they call Isaiah a major prophet, and then they've got the minor prophets. There's no such thing as major and minor prophets. God doesn't grade it that way. You're either called or you're not called. And when you are a prophet, you're a prophet. That's it. And you get judged according as how you respond to what God has called you to do. And all of these have certain gifts. Not every prophet's alike. Not every Christian's alike. Everybody, God likes all of his people to have gifts and things. And you may have one gift and your husband may have another, or vice versa. Because God loves to see his children use their gifts. Because he gave them to you. So starting out in this one, we really have a lot of ground to go. And it's one of these things that when you look at, you know, it's just magical And I don't like that word in this context, but yet it's miraculous. It's in a way, when you look like, that's unbelievable. How can that be? That's because God is not like any God that you've ever seen or known. There is a difference here. And so while the children of Israel, Isaiah speaking to them, were going through their own trouble and vexation, and while indeed Isaiah was given a couple of children, we still have yet to see any kind of a child that was begat by a virgin who never had sex with a man. And of course, in this respect, this is a miraculous book. How God leads us through in redemption and judgment of Israel and weaves in what he does about she shall bring forth a son. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And that's Isaiah, of course. And of course, he's talking to Ahaz, which no, he's not. I've got him mixed up. But we covered this in 7:1. And he would give him a sign, but nobody wanted a sign. They didn't ask for a sign. And there is a further prophetic implication in that. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. And then when you get in Isaiah 9, you see that this land, this shaking and this trouble that was happening is going to lay the background for some of the greatest prophecies of the Messiah that we have ever seen and was ever written. And by the time we get up into Isaiah a ways, in Isaiah 50, 52, 53, 54, 55, these are the foundations of what we believe. So it's, to me, it's one of those things when we find a church that won't have anything to do with the Old Testament. It's mind-numbing that somebody would do that. Why would they do that? And so, well, is it the fact that they weren't really born again? Is it the fact that they just don't believe it? But a lot of them have been taught that over the centuries. And a lot of your heresies come down directly from the seminaries. Yeah, I call them cemeteries. But and we have people that are hirelings that's in your churches today that are leading their people straight into the pit of hell or tribulation, whichever comes first. So tonight, if you know the Lord, thank God. If your kids know the Lord, thank God. Do you know how many people on this earth don't know the Lord? Do you know how many think we are crazy? Do you know even in America we see biasness and a whole attitude against the Christian belief in this country? But thank God today, as many of the liberal press and liberal Democrats and even Hollywood, and not all of Hollywood hate Trump. There's godly Christian people out there. And even as they're hating Trump, you have a Christian who says he'll stand up, and he has been attacked, and his name is Vice President Pence. You have other Christians in there as well. And they're standing with this president, and there's praying, there's studies going on in the White House. There's things going on. Now, see, President Trump, again, he's not your pastor, and he's not a politician. But one thing he is, if he got elected, the Lord put him there. And it could be just one little moment in America's history where God said, I gave you a choice. To remind you where you came from, and you rejected it. And you rejected me. While we are different than Israel, we are in many ways alike. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and for what we can learn about Isaiah, about the prophecies of Yahshua Jesus, and what we can learn about ourselves. Father, bless your people that they hear it, whenever they hear it, bless them. And be with them and keep them. And be with the persecuted church, I know you are. But comfort those who were in some jail cell, some prison, locked up in some hellhole, cold, hungry. And he's just there or she's there because they're Christian. Let them know. Grant them mercy. Let them know someone is praying for them. That we care for them. That we love them. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay. Now, we've got another good one next time because we're going to be getting into the midst of these Emmanuel prophecies. I will be joined with Tower. So, at any rate, let your friends know. About the shows. Be sure to visit us at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows and read the articles. Help us to get the word out. And remember, we too have expenses. And we have those that help us financially. You can go over to our websites and you can donate and help us. So it's in your court. So help us to get the word out. We thank you. Tower.
Yes.
He almost knocked me out of my seat.
Sorry.
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to wake you up, but it was time for you to come back on.
I wasn't sleeping.
Okay.
I was listening to every word.
Okay.
I
believe
like
you.
Isaiah's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary I was just going to say, you know, like Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's scary to think that there's, well, you see it all the time. There's no light in people. And it's very frightening to think about them entering eternity without the Lord. I don't want anybody to go there.
Well,
it's
the apostles,
you described it, I think.
The apostles were very adamant about that. And this is why. This is not a game. But today we've made it into one of those globalist things. And, you know, they're expecting God to come back from his golfing vacation in a couple of millennial. Meanwhile, they're going to do what they want to.
And buddy-buddy with them in all their sins. Well, I got news for them.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Well, see, the thing that is so ironic, you know, the reason Isaiah came was to warn him. That's why Jeremiah came. They had plenty of opportunity to repent, but they didn't take it. None of them. Jeremiah was preaching for over 2 decades. Over 2 decades, he preached to Judah to try to get them to repent, and they wouldn't listen. And we thought the Democrats were stubborn. And some of the Republicans we thought were stubborn. But it took, you know, I mean, come on. And Jeremiah... You know, Isaiah, you know. Well, I'm going to send you to my people, but they're not going to listen to you. But I'm going to make you hard, and you will be able to resist them and give them my anointed word. But they're not going to listen. Well, how long shall I preach? Until all the houses are destroyed, the people are removed, and the place is barren.
That almost seems discouraging.
Well, yeah.
To do that.
Well, yeah, that's a prophet for you, though, you see. That's why God, you know, sends his anointed angel messenger to deal with him. I mean, a prophet has had a special anointing. Oh, now, of course, we have the gift of prophecy, and we've got prophets and apostles in the church. But, you know, we're talking Old Testament prophets, and they were a little bit different. And not demeaning the New Testament prophets, we surely have those. I mean, in all my life, I've seen one. I knew one. And even him, I didn't agree with all the time. So, you know, I can tell you one thing. They're not a lot that you mess with. So that's why they say that old adage, that old saying, fear God and the prophets. If you know what's good for you, don't mess with them. And that's the same thing for a man or woman of God. You know, you can help them out. You can, you know, even talk to them. But, you know, even Paul told them that God, it's a righteous thing that God will recompense evil to those who treat you evil. And that's a Pauline teaching. He said that's what God will do. And so if you've got someone being evil to you, you just be nice to them.
Yeah, you're heaping coals of fire on their head. What the Bible says.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who it was, but he's Remember that Italian dude that's the actor?
Robert Davies?
Yeah. He has a way about him and on Twitter. And he was tweeting some, I don't know what it was, but his stuff comes over our stuff. And I seen one thing, and it was this guy had condemned him, you know, just really was nasty to him. And he says, "Why do you say that? Comma, God bless you." And he does that, you know, and, you know, I think he believes it because I've heard him talk on some of his little videos, and he does talk like, you know, he's probably an Italian Catholic and believes in it. You know, he believes you got to be a certain way. And he's not caustic like a lot of these, although he has gotten in trouble for tweeting the wrong stuff. But I find that funny. On all of Twitter, I'm kidding you not, and I've seen a lot of them roll by. He's the only one that when they're insulted, he says, you know, this one, you know, why do you say that? God bless you. And I've seen others where he just said, God bless you. And he included the tweet, what they said to him, and then he repeats, God bless you. He doesn't argue with them anymore. He just, God bless you. Take that. God bless
that
probably
you. Probably makes him angry.
You know? I mean, God, what are you blessing me for? I don't believe in your God. You know,
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, you know, it's like, you know.
Sure is funny, though, that they don't believe in God, but when things happen, they blame him. You know, things that happen that they don't like, that is affects their life personally and in a tragic way, it's God's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you did. And may God bless you richly. We love you and we pray for you. And have a good night. We'll see you again.
Yep. Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.